always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Still trying to account for everyone after a building collapse in Iowa. CBS's Jim Crisula reports.
Authorities in the Mississippi River town of Davenport, Iowa, say at least five people are missing following the partial collapse of a six-story apartment building. 52-year-old Lisa Brooks was rescued after spending more than 24 hours trapped in her apartment.
Pray for my life.
Brooks was rescued just hours after authorities said everyone in the building had been accounted for. The building was under renovation at the time of the collapse.
The family of an 11-year-old boy shot and injured after he called 911 for help in a domestic dispute is now suing the police department for $5 million. Here's CBS's Omar Villafranca.
Mom says that when police showed up, they were trying to kick the door in. She opened the door. She said guns were drawn. The officer yelled for everyone to come out with their hands up. Her ex-boyfriend ran out through the back door trying to get away. She came out, no problem. She let them know, look, there's kids inside. 911 caller said there was kids inside. Well, her 11-year-old son, Darian, comes around the corner with his hands up. And she says nothing in his hands, unarmed. An officer shot him in the chest.
The House is scheduled to vote tonight on raising the debt limit. What happens if Congress fails to act? Simon Rabinovich is at The Economist.
If America doesn't increase its debt limit, the government is not able to raise more funding for all of its very basic obligations, from Social Security payments to paying interest on its debt.
Congress must pass the debt ceiling bill by June 5th or risk default. Relatives of those who died in the crash of a Boeing MAX jet can sue over the terror their loved ones felt in their final moments.
Illinois Judge Jorge Alonso ruled Boeing cannot stop relatives of those killed in the 2019 Ethiopian Airlines crash from seeking compensation for the pain and suffering of passengers before the plane hit the ground, rejecting Boeing's attempt to exclude any evidence of pain and suffering that passengers may have experienced before that MAX jet crashed.
That's CBS's Vicky Barker. A wildfire on Canada's Atlantic coast has damaged about 200 homes and other buildings and prompted mass evacuations. CBS's Matt Piper reports.
Helicopters are trying to douse the flames in Nova Scotia, where wildfires have forced at least 16,000 people to evacuate. And it's prompted air quality alerts along the U.S. East Coast, including for Delaware, Philadelphia, and most of Massachusetts.
A NASA panel formed last year to study UFOs holds its first public hearing today.
A report from NASA is expected this summer. It's the first time the space agency has conducted such a study on a once very secretive subject. The government has debunked UFO theories dating back to the 40s, and NASA still doesn't call them UFOs. But
this is CBS News.
Hiring's a lot easier with Indeed. Their powerful platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Investigators in southwest Wisconsin say a death at a campground last week is suspicious. Richland County deputies were called to Bunker Hill Campground in Cazenovia Thursday morning. Talks resumed this week between Milwaukee leaders and state lawmakers working on the state budget. Mayor Cavalier Johnson tells the Milwaukee Rotary Club the first new increase in money in 30 years will make Milwaukee a better, safer city.
With more police, answers for calls, for service, they'll be quicker. Firefighters and paramedic response times, they will be able to improve. Our libraries will continue to bring new programs, locations, and services to residents all across our city.
Lawmakers are working on a new formula for sharing state money with local communities. In sports, the Blue Jays beat the Brewers last night 7-2. Julio Teheran starts tonight for Milwaukee. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
Images, we all have them.
Bandana, check. Boots, check. Gloves, check. As a motorcycle rider in Wisconsin, you may go to great lengths to protect your image. Just be sure you're protecting yourself, too.
Wear a Department of Transportation-approved helmet. Perform safety checks on your motorcycle. Know the traffic laws and don't take risks. Motorists and motorcyclists can work together to achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roads. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday already. That means Wednesdays with none other than Maggie Dawn, the Dawn of Resistance herself, Milwaukee County Corporate Counsel. What's going on, Maggie?
Good morning, Earl. It's so nice to be here with you. Been listening since you came on the air. Some interesting stuff this morning.
You know, it's those things, especially the first one with the 11-month-old baby. Can you imagine?
How can anybody argue that these people shouldn't be charged? If you lock a child in a car and the child dies, you go to prison. That's the way it should work.
I thought it was cut and dry. Something
that is the way it should work. Also, hey, church, you don't have child care? Like, if you don't want to hear crying babies during services, you should provide child care. It's a church. Most churches do that.
Yes, and you want families with children.
Of course.
In the church, right? I mean.
Of course you do, except maybe you don't. That's a whole nother discussion we could have. And I'll just, you know, why gild the lily? There is an incredible article that came out yesterday in the Washington Post about the explosion of homeschooling amongst especially the far right Christian nationalist movement. And frankly, it's a version of brainwashing, right? Like, they raise young women up to obey husbands and fathers, and they employ corporal punishment that in any other circumstance, you know, a black family, if the kid got beat like that, the mom and dad would be hauled in for charges. But I've digressed. Yeah. You would prefer families together in churches, all else being equal. And if a child is having an episode, most churches that I'm familiar with, and I've been to many, many different types of churches. I shouldn't even just say churches. Synagogues,
mosques, temples.
Right. Exactly. Provide child care during service, especially if it's 3 hours. I'm, you know, I was raised Catholic. We get that business done in 60 minutes, right. Or the natives get restless. I shouldn't even use right. that phrase anymore, right? Pardon me for saying that. We're always learning and doing better here on the WAUK on Civic Media. But yeah, you get it done in 60 minutes in a Catholic church or people get angry about it.
Right.
But 3 hours? Provide childcare, and I'm sorry, I don't care what you're doing. You're going to prison. You killed your kid.
You know, Maggie.
And what did the police chief call it? Like an unfortunate incident? It's called a crime that you should prosecute.
You know, Maggie, the child was 11 months old. Okay, and you may say, well, what does it matter? Well, listen, it does. In the end, it doesn't matter. But an 11 month old child
probably can walk.
Yes.
And was basically stuck. Like, that is a torture chamber. You tortured your child to death.
Yes. 11 months old is, and that child can think.
Correct.
And I'm not saying that newborn babies, right.
Know that they've been left. Knew it, was in pain, excruciating pain. And y'all don't crack a window? There's so much about this that is just so disturbing.
But Maggie, it was only 70-some-odd degrees.
That's what I'm saying, the window.
So what I'm saying is, we know this is not the last time that this is going to happen
this
year.
Every year, like you said, right. People leave their children, and we don't even need to talk about the number of animals that are killed in right. exactly the same way.
Right.
It's just... Once the temperature, first of all, never, ever, ever leave a child or an animal unattended in a locked car with the windows closed.
But why should
you
have to tell somebody that?
I think, you know, Earl, you said it, I think you used the word ignorance. And yes, that's clearly part of what's going on. I also think that this is an indicator of a failure of our culture and a failure of our society to understand that we have a lot of folks that don't know how to parent.
Yes.
And you have to have so many people to help a family, especially a young family or a family that's struggling through trauma or inherited trauma or generational trauma. Like, we need to value family. So part of what I mean by that is saying, does this church welcome children in their services? I should hope so. If this church doesn't, do they provide childcare during services? These are the kinds of things that we need as a culture and a society to help families not just survive, but to thrive, break through cycles of trauma, right? Help children achieve higher levels of education and early access to education. We need to feel that my neighbor's child, I also have feeling and care for, right? That there's much more of a cohesive, it takes a village approach to families and children. I think a lot of times, yes, parents are ultimately the ones that are responsible, but we know full well that that's not working well right now. So what do we do? And there's so much of, and we see it all the time. I have so many friends that are teachers, and it's so difficult at this moment. So we tend to vilify teachers, blame the school system, right? Meanwhile, we're busy banning books because that really helps kids. There's a lot of ideas coming out of my mouth because I'm so frustrated by the state of affairs.
You know, Maggie, you hear all the people touting we're homeschooling. Never mind, many of them are not qualified.
So this was part of what? Yes.
I don't care what they say. They're not qualified.
And it is virtually unregulated. That is what the Christian nationalist right-wing movement did. They went state by state, led by a few folks. You can check out the article on WAPO. It was published yesterday, excuse me. They basically deregulated homeschooling. Back in the day when we were in school, if you wanted to homeschool, there was a set curriculum. You had to turn in teaching plans in order to do the homeschooling that has basically been wiped out state by state, nationwide.
So
now,
Maggie,
there's no standards.
So if people really gave this some thought, I was talking with somebody the other day and they homeschool. And I said, maybe, you know, when the kids are 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. But if you're homeschooling young people at 12, 13, 14 years old, and you've homeschooled them all of the time, do you have any idea when children don't get a chance to mix with other children, you are really causing a disservice
to the child.
To the child. You don't want your child around other human beings, but you don't understand the impact of your child not being able to
do those things.
Yes.
I really so there's two aspects to me. It's one is they're not able to educationally attain in a really rigorous way. Of course, there are exceptions. Don't call and be like, well, I knew this one person who's a genius, who is homeschooled. Like, that is not the point. The point is the majority of folks. So they're not getting the educational necessities met because the parents do not have the skills and it's virtually unregulated now. And then second of all, they're not being socialized with other children. Conflict resolution, where do those skills begin? Really early on for a kid. If kids aren't reading by third grade, we pretty much know that they are locked into a cycle of underachievement. And we know that the studies that have been done on this, reading and comprehension lag for the majority of homeschooled children. And that, like, if you can't read and comprehend well, the world is closed to you. And you certainly... I mean, I went to Rufus King High School for the College Bound on Olive Street, very proudly, just off of 19th and Capitol in Milwaukee's beautiful inner city Rufus King neighborhood.
It's still beautiful.
Gorgeous place. And all of my teachers were specialists in their area. It wasn't like I had a ninth grade teacher that taught me calculus and literature and biology, right? These were specialized folks that had studied those specific subject matters and how to teach high schoolers about those subject matters. You're not going to do as well at home. Again, I grant you that there are exceptions. But the fact that states have stepped back from regulating this raises a really interesting question to me, Earl. And that is, if we can look at parents who leave a child locked in a closed car in any month of the year, warm or cold, and we can say if the child dies as a result of that, those parents should be criminally prosecuted and should spend some time in prison. If we can draw that line, then shouldn't we be asking questions about where does the parent's right to control the rearing of the child end and the child's right as a human being to be safe, to have access to good quality education, good quality books, a diversity of opinion, and perhaps even to have that child have some say-so in their religiosity. You know what I'm saying? We seem to be in a point in this country, and the fact that this police chief isn't inclined to prosecute these people at a moment seems to be drawing the line in favor of a parent's absolute right. And we're forgetting that children do also have rights.
You know, Maggie, it's a profound thought about where that begins and where that ends. And it's probably tied into something legal.
It always is, Earl.
Yeah. but clearly, it is really an important question. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Maggie Dawn, the Dawn of Resistance, is in the studio. We'll be right back.
Familiar with the three what's. What is it? What can it do for me? And what does it cost? At Country Financial, we can help you find the answers with insurance coverage to help protect what's most important to you, all at a price you can afford. So while you're juggling work and kids while trying to keep an eye on your future, we'll make sure we're one of the first ones there when you need us most. What should you do next? Call Matthew Holbrook, your Country Financial representative, at 414-332-2137 and chat about your insurance needs today. 414-332-2137.
Mexican. Weather brought to you by Taqueria Miyagi, Waukesha's authentic Mexican food truck, which is now open and ready to serve you. Find us at 1610 Lincoln Avenue in the BP gas station parking lot or call us at 262-278-6590.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
Matt Rothschild of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
So here we have Jim Troupas, Dan Kelly, we got Michael Gableman, and the question is accountability, democracy, freedom. Are we going to let these forces who are hostile to democracy continue to try to take over our state? They may spout the value of freedom, but they don't want freedom.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Weekday afternoons, 2 until 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 88. Southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered storms tonight. Lows dip down to about 63. Mainly clear. Mainly sunny tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs level off around 89. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 75 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul.
Waukesha's famous farmer's market.
And The Shaw, WAUK.
When I'm in the car, I'm always listening.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with Maggie Dawn, Corporate Counsel of Milwaukee County. You know, Maggie, I couldn't help, but, you know, since I have a son that's mentally ill, and as I watch these situations where people who have been diagnosed as mentally ill walk into places and kill a lot of people. The issue we're talking about now is the Tree of Life is a synagogue where a man walked in and slaughtered 11 people. He had been deemed mentally ill even before he did that. And now there's a question of whether or not he should receive the death penalty. And your thoughts, because if a person is mentally ill, does it mean that they're not, what does it mean?
So in a legal context, and first, before I forget to say this, I do want to be really clear. I, have been fervently opposed to the death penalty for many, many years for a large number of reasons.
It's myself as well.
But primarily two, and one, it has
not
been
equal justice.
Correct. It has been unequally applied to such a drastic degree that one, I think, could make a cogent argument that the death penalty itself as an institution or as an aspect of this system that we use to mete out retribution for crimes is itself racist and extraordinarily regressive. In other words, we punish folks that we more harshly punish black folks and folks that come from extraordinarily difficult circumstances, yeah, and tend to let those that are white and well-to-do walk away.
Just facts. That's facts.
Just the way the data is.
Right.
Like, you look at the data, them's the facts.
Yep.
I also, secondly, have absolutely no doubt that we have executed innocent people. And thirdly, it's ineffective as a method of deterrence. So the moral justifications, listen, we incarcerate and punish people to deter others from committing crimes, to keep that individual person, if deemed unsafe, away from community. So for safety of community. And then third, it is for retribution. People don't want to talk about that, but that's part of what is baked into this cake. And when you're going to put someone to death, yes, that keeps the community safe because they're no longer walking the planet, but it is not an effective deterrent. And I don't think bloodlust is a really good thing for a system of meeting out purported rights to cure wrongs works very well. You don't teach people not to kill people by killing people. That being said, the law looks at mental illness when it comes to the commission of crimes in a very specific and narrow fashion. And it doesn't ask, does the person have a mental illness? If so, then cannot be held responsible. It asks a very narrowly structured question, narrowly tailored question, and that is, did the person have sufficient understanding of the consequences of their actions? And if it is an intentional homicide, did the person have a sufficient amount of mental capacity to form the requisite intent to commit the crime? In this case, for the Tree of Life Synagogue, I'm not well versed in its facts, but if I recall from when this tragedy first occurred, I believe that the individual had posted a lot of anti-Semitic, Nazi-adjacent things on his social media site, and went out and acquired these weapons. Well, that proves intent. I mean, you can make an argument that those facts prove intent. But when we talk about, first of all, I hate referring to the justice system as a justice system. You could rightly call it an injustice system or, Rich Whitey's way of getting off the hook. I mean, like, there's a lot of different ways to call it. In large part, it's a conflict resolution mechanism. It's just one mechanism that we've chosen. Many other Western democracies have very different versions of what we have here. But there's a fundamental question about, what societal benefit do we get if someone is so seriously mentally compromised that regardless of the answers to those two questions, that they were in whatever way unable to function in society, we didn't, or they were not looked after in some way. There was no safety net for that person. They continue to dissemble in some way and then commit this heinous act. It's the same. It's a different way of asking the same question that I was asking in the last segment, which is, what are the choices that we are making as an American society to either step in and try to provide meaningful safety nets for people that are at highest risk, or in the prior segment, how do we view our responsibilities to each and every child in our country? Or do we just say that's somebody else's problem?
You know, Maggie, when the words that I use by your attorneys in law and all, eloquent words, right?
They're some people very, have some other descriptors for it too,
but,
Earl.
But the very elegant words and what they stand for is what sometimes confuses many of us, and we think that that's the way law is structured and written. Where the
average person, a lot of
lawyers
make it indecipherable, right?
Yeah. So listen, we gotta go to break. 844-967-2789. Maggie Dawn, the Dawn of Resistance, is here. I'm glad she's here. We'll be right back.
From Five Points and beyond, from Southeast Wisconsin and to the world, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Five people remain missing after an apartment building partially collapsed Sunday in Davenport, Iowa. Lisa Brooks was rescued.
I was shaky. My youngest son, I stayed close by him.
Nine people have been pulled out so far. The family of an 11-year-old Mississippi boy who called 911 during a domestic dispute and was shot and injured by an officer is suing the city of Indianola. Attorney Carlos Moore.
My client, Darren Murray, did everything right and nothing wrong, and yet he still was shot point blank, center range, in the chest.
Gearing up for a vote tonight in the House on the debt ceiling bill.
Republican and Democratic leaders have press conferences through the day as they try to galvanize the necessary 218 votes in favor on the House floor.
That's CBS's Scott McFarlane on Capitol Hill. CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinere. Here's what you need to know. A group of Republican lawmakers introducing a bill to change Wisconsin's 1849 abortion ban. It increases the penalty for performing an abortion and specifies which medical procedures would be allowed to save a pregnant woman's life. Attorney General Josh Call and a group of doctors are suing to overturn the 1849 ban. They say a 1985 law allowing abortions up to the point of viability takes precedence. The case is expected to come before the Wisconsin Supreme Courts. Summer in Wisconsin means pavement buckling season. The Department of Transportation warning drivers about high heat over the next few days, which makes conditions perfect for pavement to expand and buckle. In sports, the Blue Jays beat the Brewers last night by a score of 7-2. I'm Jane Matinere. This is Civic Media News.
Feeling down, anxious, depressed? You are not alone. According to the World Health Organization, approximately 280 million people have depression, but the majority never receive treatment. At WellPoint Care Network, they can help. Their outpatient clinic staff are both qualified and caring, not to mention highly trained in partnering with you on your healing journey. Make an appointment today at wellpointcare.org. They serve all ages, infants, children, and adults. Both in-person and virtual services are available. Learn more at wellpointcare.org.
The four most dreaded words.
My computer is down.
Oh boy, that bites. Remain sane. PC It Back Together will fix the pain. Rated number one PC doctor in Southeast Wisconsin. Great service, great rates, and fast service with no trip charge. Experts with PCs, laptops, network servers, protection, backups, and can even help you remotely. Click PCItBack.com or call us at 262-706-3235. That's 262-706-3235. Remain sane. We fix the pain.
A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
This is a scam, and Tucker Carlson is one of the guys. He's one of the guys who said the election was stolen, Dominion voting machines are no good, on the air, but in the background, he's going, this is insane. This is a load of bull. The guy lies for a living. He lies with a straight face.
Matt Flynn Direct. Weekday afternoons from 3 until 4. On the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Maggie Dawn, the Dawn of Resistance. And Maggie, after this segment, we're gonna let you, because this is the last time you and I are going to be together for a while.
Well, listen, you just, when the next hot topic comes up, Earl, you just give me a little ring-a-dingy. Now come on out to Waukesha and sit with you.
Yeah, and And so I really am discouraged by what I see is happening in this society. And I've been around long enough now that I've seen this change. Well, there's always been something, but this particular change about people just finding something to make them feel better about themselves. I'm better than somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I've always said, better. What makes you better? You're not born better than anybody else. You know, I'm better because in this instance, my hair is longer than yours. Mm-hmm. I'm better because I'm a natural blonde.
Mm-hmm.
I'm better because my hips are better than a person. I'm better because that guy weighs 120 pounds and he's puny, and I'm a 260-pound guy with a big chest, and I'm better. I'm better because I live in a better place than you. I'm better because, you know, my color of my skin. I'm better because my bank account. People have to feel that they're better than somebody else, and that's what's at the root of I'm better because I'm straight. Mm-hmm. And that's what's at the root of all of this is madness. You aren't better than anybody.
Yeah.
None of us are better than anybody. We're born, we die. I don't care how much money you have, you're going to die just like the person without any money. So Maggie, to me, that's we've got to get to a point, and supposedly religion is supposed to be the elixir that gets us to understand that we're not better than anybody else. But that's not the case, is it?
Oh, hell no. Right? One of the things that I often ask people to think about is, how did the birth lottery work for you? Right? How did the birth lottery sort for you? And would you arrange society any differently if you were, quote, going to lose the birth lottery? Born with a severe disability to a family with, you know, below or at the poverty line.
Right.
Go run out that hypothetical. Is society organized in a good and righteous way, whomever your God is? If your religion teaches you that if you have a lot of stuff, that's because you're good.
Yeah.
And there's a name for this. It's called prosperity theology. And it's the cornerstone of the religious right.
Somebody wants your, they want our stuff.
And if you're poor, you're poor because you're bad.
Yeah.
And does anybody, you know, anybody hearing some faint tinkling bells of like welfare queens and all?
Yeah.
Then they loaded up all of that. If you got stuff, it's because you're good. If you don't got stuff, it's because you're bad. And oh, by the way, black folks, well, if they don't got, that's because they're lazy, bad, right? There was this perfect intersection of race and wealth politics. Right, because if you're sitting and you're demographically getting smaller and smaller as a group, read white people.
Yeah.
And you're sitting on an inordinately large pile of the stuff. You got to come up with some reason why the greater majority of people aren't getting more stuff, right? It's about keeping my stuff.
Yeah.
So they came up with a religious line of rationale to justify keeping all this stuff. It's really sad. Now, I think that, you know, culture issues have been used since the end of World War II by the conservative movement to try to distract people from the wealth extraction. Distraction to keep people from noticing the wealth extraction. I think that's, I got to use that again. Because since that period of time, we've watched wealth inequality in this country grow, and now it's growing at rates that we basically haven't ever seen before. And that becomes a really troubling set of facts. And what are people worried about? Who's buying Bud Light? Whether Target's got, you know, a rainbow onesie for babies. Hey, if you're not trans and you don't care about the LGBTQ community and you're a religious righty, that's great. Just walk past the pride ad section at Target. You don't need to boycott it. It's like if that programming's not for you, simply turn the channel, right? It just, there's so much distraction going on to keep people from paying attention to what is truly important. And sometimes I do think religion can be used and perverted in a way for these very obvious political purposes. And I think there's a huge swath of the country right now that has sort of been snake charmed into that line of thinking. And it is rooted in the I'm better than you, I'm going to judge you, and anything that you say that it is the least bit challenging to me, I am going to shout down, I'm going to ban that book, I'm going to boycott that Bud Light, I'm going to not show up at the Target, I'm going to tear down the onesies, right? Wait a minute. Is your family doing any better than your parents' family did?
So think about the ignorance in this. If you like Bud Light, and so somebody says, hey, Maggie, we're going to boycott Bud Light. Now, you like Bud Light. That's what you've been drinking. You choose that.
For like all of my 25 years of drinking, right?
Yeah.
Love that Bud Light, but now I'm going to not drink the Bud Light?
And that's what's happening, right? Okay, we want to punish Target because Target has a little section over here for LGBTQ or trans. Okay.
Insane.
So you're going to stop going to Target because the mob says.
Yeah, y'all want to spend your time worrying about that? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
listen, I don't really choose how I'm going to spend my time based upon how has-been Kid Rock wants to. And he didn't even shoot. I don't know if you've seen these videos. He didn't even really shoot up the like two cases of Bud Light. If you watched that video that he posted on the gram or on TikTok or whatever it was. Literally, someone else blows them up. But, like, I'm not taking my cues from Kid Rock. And, by the way, as long as we're on it, hey, Bud Light executives, dear Anheuser-Busch, boy, you missed the boat on that one. Because as soon as the knuckle draggers came out and were starting to get a little anxious, lose your mind over that. Bud Light, what they should have done, Anheuser-Busch, absolutely doubled down. Yes, we're pro-trans rights. Yes, we love the trans community. Yes, we love the LGBT community. Hey, Pride is coming up. How about Bud Light is the beer of all Pride celebrations? They lose 30% in gross sales. They would have made it up by 50%. People love to drink at Pride. That's a good party. It's coming up this weekend in Milwaukee. I think they should have leaned into it. Yes, we're going to be the beer of love and acceptance, not the beer of fear and intolerance. And if you don't want to drink us at NASCAR anymore, pardon the stereotype, then don't.
So Maggie, so if people don't understand the impact of this way of thinking is having on the future of this nation presently and down the road, shame on them because this battle is taking place inside of this nation. And yet there are people who are concerned about Russia and China and North Korea and all of these people that are led to believe that these people are coming to get us. No.
Yeah.
It's the people inside of the country
I think
that are going to destroy the country from within with this insanity.
Yeah, I think Matt Flynn references that fascism, his line is something like fascism comes in like little kitty footsteps or something like that. And if you look at our founding fathers, they warn that democracy is basically very loosely kept together and that the greatest threats to democratic values and democracies come from within the country. They're not external. So I don't like to think of things in totally apocalyptic terms because I do see glimmers of hope, and it's mostly coming from young people, right? Young people are more tolerant.
It's always the young people who change things.
Absolutely
it's always been
right.
That.
Absolutely right. You look at the kids that survived Parkland, and the gun advocacy, the gun control advocacy that they've engaged in, I think young people really will be always our country's clarion call to our better versions of ourselves.
So,
right?
So since we're not afraid, CJ is on the line.
Oh, super. I love
so, it. Good morning, CJ. Your thoughts?
Good morning, Earl, and good morning, Meg.
Hey, CJ.
Yeah, I do have some thoughts. Your previous discussion was about children, and I remember the phrase from Hillary Clinton, it takes a village, or the Clintons. Well, now the new phrase is, they're all of our kids. They're all
they
of
are.
Our kids.
That's
what's wrong? Tell me what's wrong with that. That we have a societal responsibility generally to every single child in this country. Did we lose you, CJ? You there?
He's still there. But
it's maybe he muted his phone. Did you mute your phone, CJ?
But you know, Maggie, here's why that way of thinking that they're not all of our children, because children grow up to be adults. And if you want to see a better society, children don't get to pick their families. I keep telling people to hold children accountable for the conditions, as you talked about, the lottery.
Mm-hmm. Birth lottery.
Yeah, children don't get a chance. I've seen children who have great potential, but they're born into an environment that prevents them from seeing and becoming the best that they can possibly be because, well, they're born in the environment that they're born in. What's wrong with a nation that refuses to focus on what's in the best interest of the future of its society?
Right,
that's the children.
We have extraordinarily high infant mortality and maternal mortality rates in this country. It's one of the great
worst
stains.
In the nation. Worst in the world.
Yes, for developed democracy. That is terrible. It shows you that we don't care. Childhood hunger, food insecurity, housing insecurity. You look at almost every measure, and we are, if not the worst, among the worst of all Western democracies. So I say to folks that proudly proclaim that they are pro-life, please care about the child after it leaves the woman's vagina. That's, you know, like those lives deserve some protecting too. And I don't mean by school resource officers that tend to criminalize stupid teenage behaviors, right? And it's sad to me that this seems to be a bone of contention. I really wanted to hear what CJ was going to say next. Tell me why we shouldn't have a general societal responsibility to each and every child, that they're well cared for, fed, housed, have access to health care and meaningful education that is not funded by the accident of property tax districts.
So you know what, Maggie? Those who call themselves Christian, that's their doctrine,
yep.
Right? That's their doctrine.
Yep.
And so you can say it all you can ignore it all you want to. I know that's their doctrine. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
That's the vision at Holtebeck Eye Center. At Holtebeck Eye Center, they provide the most professional and compassionate care in the industry, from your first call to follow-up after treatment. If you've been dreaming of seeing clearly again, Dr. Holtebeck can restore your vision with expert care and attention to issues like cataracts, glaucoma, and diabetes complications. You'll not only see better, but feel better too. Don't wait any longer. Improve your eyesight. Visit Holtebeck.com. That's Holtebeck.com.
If you're grilling this weekend, be sure to have plenty of artisan hearth buns and rolls on hand. Fancy equipment and secret sauces are great, but once you've mastered the basics, it's all about the bun. Your perfectly grilled burgers and hot dogs deserve the best, and with several varieties to choose from, including Wisconsin brat buns, gourmet brioche, French, and onion rolls, the bakers of Artisan Hearth have the buns and rolls your family will love. Artisan Hearth, locally baked, delivered fresh daily.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba.
Please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Mainly cloudy skies expected this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered storms. Highs around 88. Southeast winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms tonight. Lows dip down to about 63. Mainly clear skies. Mainly sunny tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Daytime highs approaching 89. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 75 degrees.
Sometimes the truth hurts, but in a good way.
That's all you had to say.
This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
I'm still strong.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Yeah, she's back. The Dawn of Resistance, Maggie Dawn. Let's go to Julie in Franklin. Julie, thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Oh, hi, Earl. I really enjoy listening to you.
Thank you.
Conversation. I don't know, maybe 6 months ago when I was in town, I lived in Florida taking care of my mom and dad, and then we talked about Trump a little.
I remember you.
So, and I love to listen to your show because I love to hear, different opinions than my own. So, and we could talk all day because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding between everybody. And Maggie's got some good points. I think the one thing I wanted to address, you were talking about, the young people change things. And I think the young people generation comes into their own and they see things with a fresh eye and, maybe not the wisdom and experience of the older generation. And I do think your perspective changes when you have children. I'm not, I think we need to find a balance in this country and in our lives instead of the extremes at one end or the other. And it seems like that's all we tend to talk about are the extremes of a group of people that isn't the majority of Americans today. Mm. And I think maybe going to the point of, I started listening to you and you were talking about Target and, and the Bud Light and people boycotting. I think what the and please believe me, nobody listens to Kid Rock.
Shoo!
The clown show. The whitest white of us, the whitest redneck, white trash of us. We're not listening to what Kid Rock has to say about anything other than, play your music and entertain us. That's what I think we forget is we want to go to Target and shop and get our stuff. I don't want Target to tell me how I should think or not think.
But how are they doing that? I really want to understand this. If you are not interested in the LGBTQ community or the upcoming Pride celebration, how is Target telling you what to think simply because they have a small display in their store that is there to sell products to make money for Target shareholders for those that do want to attend that celebration? Why is it not just like, and pardon this analogy,
Christmas or Easter
or Hanukkah or the New York Jets versus the, just walk on by. An advertisement for New York Jets gear or a Hanukkah thing, if that's not your jam, isn't telling you to believe that.
Yeah, and I understand what you're saying. I totally agree.
Okay.
Totally agree. I'm not a boycotter. I don't boycott if somebody doesn't have the same opinion as me or doesn't like the same things as me. I think it's silly. But you're not. I think it's a bigger deal than just that.
Stimulation. Say that again, Julie. I'm sorry.
Okay, let me finish. That's okay. And I'll try to be fast because I know you have other callers. It's an accumulation of the schools, the people, that the government getting involved in restrooms and talking about there is no biological male and female.
You know, Julie.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
So anyway, I think it's all of that. Like they're pushing it in schools and parents.
Who's
are like,
the
okay,
they?
We can
Who's
teach
the
our
they?
Kids this.
Who is the they? And so what exactly is being pushed?
Whatever school district you're in,
who's on school boards, right? Who's on school boards and who sets educational standards? People are elected to school boards, and educational standards are set by state departments of education and the federal department of education. Those are largely filled with people who have studied and are experts in education. So, what is the pushing? Like, what exactly is being pushed? Do you think young people are being told that they should be gay? Or what's the bad thing that's being told to the kids?
That's not at all what I'm saying.
Okay.
No. See, this is where it all goes sour. And I think that's not at all, at least I've lived a lot of places. I've lived in a lot of different states. I'm 60 years old. I've been in a lot of different situations. I know a lot of different people from a lot of different cultures and races. And I think where it all goes wrong is it's where most people who are saying, you don't need to force feed me all this, I need to accept this and I need to accept that there's not male and there's not a difference between male and female.
But I'm challenging, Julie, I'm challenging and what I'm trying to ask you, and I realize that you don't, that this may be the tension point here. I am challenging the statement that anyone is being force-fed those things. A group of people asking to be permitted to live their lives as they choose is not forcing that on anyone else. Acceptance is asking for acceptance isn't forcing it on someone else. So what exactly is being forced and how is it being forced?
But nobody's not accepting them. Once again, you're talking about the extremes. You're talking about a percentage of people who are ignorant and don't think out of their box. And you're saying that all white middle class people, Republican, Catholic, religious, think this way. We don't.
But I'm asking. No. I'm saying that you mentioned that. The reason people are upset about this is that it's being forced on them. And I don't understand that. It's not like who is doing the forcing? And what is being forced?
Not, do you not know what's going on around the country?
So,
so Julie,
guys, hang on. So Julie, it's a great conversation with you and Maggie, and we're up against the break. Julie, do you want to hang on and continue the conversation? Maggie, I think it's a very important conversation. It's going well.
I'll hang on, Julie.
You want to hang on, Julie?
Yeah, sure.
All right.
No, you're fine.
It's a great conversation.
Julie, it's
important.
It's a needed conversation, and you guys are doing a great job. Got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
If you love to spend time in the kitchen, elevate your cooking game with a pantry full of premium hemp products from Mary Jane's Hemp Shop in Waukesha. Mary Jane sells flights of Himalayan sea salt, raw sugar flights, local raw honey, and just in time for summer, a variety of salt rubs for meat and grilling. Not sure how to use the products in your own kitchen? Check out Mary Jane's YouTube channel for ideas and recipes. Elevate your cooking game at Mary Jane's Hemp Shop, 335 West Main Street, Waukesha, or online at maryjanespantry.com. Shop.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always stream.